I'm going to be over in Genesis, the 19th chapter, if you want to turn there, please. Genesis 19, beginning with verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and through those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But he became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Lord, this morning I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord, again. Yes, this morning, Lord, I come out here this morning to listen to your word, to worship with you this morning, to listen to this, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the hearts and minds are open, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would get me out of the way here this morning, the way that it should, Lord. And, Father, we can't help but give you the praise, give you the glory for it all. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen. And amen. There was a lot that has happened that brought us to this point where I just read to you this morning. There's probably no other story in the Bible, probably, that you know what? If you've ever been to church any in your life, you know the story and how God destroyed those two cities. And because of the perversion that was in that city. And it says over in Genesis 18 and 20, and it says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and it says, and because their sin was very grievous, you know what? God does wink at sin. And I'll tell you what, Galatians 6:7 tells me, and I'm going to tell you something else. He will not do it now. Do you understand that? He did not wink at sin then, and he will not wink at it now. Galatians 6:7 tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Plain and simple. Listen to me. But you know what? For those who would say out there, and even sitting in churches across the world and across the world, that destroy all the innocent lives, let me tell you something. Sin had permeated every ounce of those people's lives. It had did that. And listen, God's not mocked, as I said earlier. And this tells us this over in Genesis 18:32. And he said, and let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, yet but this once peradventure, that 10 shall be found, and that the Lord said, I will not destroy for 10 people's sake. Do you know what? God would not have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah if he would have found just 10 righteous people that were living in. All that had come out of that city was 4 people. Let me tell you something. You know what? I'll tell you something else too, I believe. You know what? Noah preached for 120 years. 120 years Noah preached. And you know what? Only 8 people were saved. I'm telling you what, God's word goes out today to people, and God's word goes to Savior, and yet countless thousands and countless millions are just dying and going to hell without accepting Jesus Christ. Whose fault is that? It's not God's, because God has made a way. Amen? God has made a way. Folks, it's no different today. It's no different than Christ himself said in Matthew 7:13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein. Many there be that go therein. That's what I'm talking about. There are so many people daily that have heard the gospel, that know that they have to be saved before they go out of this life. Yet often they put it off. And they go out of this life without knowing Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm one of those preachers, and you guys know me to know here. If you go out, you need to know Jesus before you go out of here. In verse 14 of Matthew 7, it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few, did you get that? And few there be that find it. Few. I'll tell you what. Jesus will come again one of these days when the last soul that can be saved is saved. Amen. I believe that. And as sad as this may sound, many of those sitting in churches around this land and across this world, and many of our loved ones, and many of our friends and our neighbors, and those co-workers are not saved, and they may not get saved, no matter how much we preach and we teach to them, and no matter how much we tell them that they need Jesus. There are going to be some that, for whatever reason. Again, I ask you, is that God's fault? No. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever of God, amen? You can do that. Because, and you know what they were going to say? Because of the hardness of their hearts and because of the pride that's in their hearts. They think that, you know what? That they know what's better. They know what's good for themselves. Does that mean that we should quit praying for them and talking to them? No way. No way. Because why? Because if there's still breath in them, if they're still on this side of eternity, praise God, my Bible tells me there is hope. Amen? There is hope. As long as howsoever the tree falls, that shall house will lie. Don't believe those out there that try to tell you that after you die there may be a second chance. There's no chance after that. That's why I want to talk to you this morning about choices. That's why I want to talk to you this morning about two men and the courses each one of those men took for them. That's what I want to talk about. Like 9 or 8 or 9 chapters it plays out. It wasn't something that just happened overnight. We observe Lot didn't think for a moment that Lot's condition was real. It happened over that. The spiritual condition of this chapter was gradual. It happened as Lot went from one instance to the next, and how the choices that Lot chose for his life and for his family, ultimately, we get to chapter 19 and figure out what happened right here. The first step of his decline was, it started like this, a year before in chapter 13 where it started. And this is how it said, Lot and Abraham started together when God called Abraham out over in Genesis chapter 12. But there came a time when they had to separate because they had grown. This is Genesis 13, 5 and 6. And Lot and Abraham had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. This is where we find the first choice that was done so of Lot and his family. Lot would begin to make choices in life that would bring him to spiritual bankruptcy. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there are people that do this every day. They do it every day. They make choices in their lives. They think that they're doing right for them and for their families. And ultimately what it does, it brings them to spiritual bankruptcy in their lives. They do it. Genesis 13, 10 and 11. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. You know what? Lot chose all the plains of Jordan. That's what he did. That's what he did. And Lot journeyed east and separated himself from Abraham. And you know what? Again, I want to read to you what he did here in Genesis 13. It said, lifted up his eyes toward Sodom. The basis of what he saw. He said, he looked at what he said. You listen to me. It's a situation and telling yourself, telling you that was what? It was what you had in your own mind. How many of you have ever been guilty of that? I'm guilty of it. You know, that I've wanted so much that I made it happen. Dave Long ultimately failed. Amen? I ultimately failed. You know, because I had to suffer the consequences. And it cost you dearly. And it cost whoever you love dearly because you've seen what they've gone through. Lot had an earthly vision. That's all he could see. He could only see the earthly vision that was laid. You know, he chose the Valley of Jordan, yet that seemed very nice to him. It looked good to him. It was well watered. It was. He thought he had all these herds. He thought everything would look just perfect that way, right? Have you ever been that way? Everything looks just perfect. The wickedness of Sodom. He heard all about it before that because the knew what he was getting himself into. But he thought, like so many do today, you know what? He could handle it. He could handle it. He was the one that could handle it. He wasn't looking at it from what God had wanted for him and his family. He wasn't looking at it that way. No way, shape, or form. He was one of the oldest tricks in the Bible. Do you realize that the devil even tried it upon Jesus? You know that? Over in Matthew 8, 4 and 8, and again the devil taketh him up into a seemingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and then the glory of them. You know what? The devil took Jesus up there hoping to show him everything out here that was going to give him. And you know what? You know, and tried to trick him into that. And of course we know Jesus didn't accept that. And let me tell you something. I'm telling you right now, the devil is still doing the same today. non-Christians alike. He shows us everything that looks good, all that we want to do, all that He has out there for us. And He, you know what? And wants us to take and look at it and to take and want it so bad that we want to get so close to it, right? And I'll tell you what, ultimately what it ends up being, it ends up destroying. It ends up hurting. It ends up destroying people. You know what? Besides, I'm just going there because there's plenty of grass. Can you hear Lot's reasoning? I hear it in people today. I'm just going there because it's got green grass and it's got plenty of water. I'm not even going to go into Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? I'm going to stay on the outside of it and I'm going to be just fine. People use the same reasoning today. They use the same reasoning today to justify what they're doing. You know, I don't have, you know what I'm talking about. And like a moth being drawn to the, I have a bug whacker down at the house. This thing is so old. Whenever we plug it in, it's got the blue light. And you know what it does? It draws all these bugs in. I can plug it in and forget to unplug it and get up the next morning and there's these big pile of bugs laying underneath them. Why? Because they're drawn into it. That's why. You know what? We are told in verse 12 that Lot moved his tent as far as Sodom, is what he said right there. And he went from looking that way, to moving right up against, right on the outskirts of where Sodom was at. That's what Lot did. You see how he's progressing here? You see how he did? First off, he looks that way. Next, he's taking his tent and all that he possesses, and he's getting real close to where the city's at. That's what he's wanting to do. You see, we can be deceived ourselves into thinking that what we look at and what we do and what we read and what we and all the things is all right. We can do that. Proverbs 6:27 tells us this, and I think this is so appropriate. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? I think obviously the answer is no. Right? Obviously the answer is no. We cannot do that. We cannot take fire. We cannot take it into our laps and not expect our clothes to be burnt. So how can we expect to get right up close to sin and not expect it to have some kind of consequence on our lives? We can't do it. In chapter 14, the city of Sodom is attacked and the people living there are taken captive. Lot should be all right, you're thinking, right? He should be all right. He was just looking that way, and he was living on the outskirts of Sodom. He wasn't actually in it, right? So you know what? I've said this here before, and I've said this on several occasions. Sin will take you farther than you've ever intended to stray, keep you longer than you ever intended to stay, and cost you more than you ever intended to pay. Amen? And you know what? Look at 14:12 of Genesis. It says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son," and it tells us who dwelt in Sodom. Did you get that? Here he was. He went from looking to moving his tent close to Sodom. The next thing what he's doing, he is living right in Sodom. And we know that from things. You know what? And his goods, and they departed. He was dwelling in Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 13, Lot is living outside of Sodom. In chapter 14, he's living right in it. He's right in the midst of it. He goes from looking at it to, like I said, he goes to living there. You know what? I want to ask you something. You know what? This is true, and I'll just make a statement here. An alcoholic had to take the first drink, did they not? Someone that is addicted to drugs had to do drugs for the first time. Someone that ruined their marriage because of adultery had to step out for the first time. There had to be something. There was first in everything. Am I right? I'm telling you right now, whenever we start down that path, I'm telling you right now, you are not going to be the one sometime maybe that's able to stop and say, this is where I end this. You may just go all the way. And that's what happened to Lot. He went all the way. You know what? You might be asking yourself, could it get any worse? Oh yeah, it could get worse. Chapter 19, verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Did you get that? You know why he was sitting in the gate of Sodom? You know what I can read and what I can gather? He was now a leader. He was now somebody that was in a position of leadership in Sodom. Because they didn't have just anybody sitting at the gate. They had, you know, he was sitting there because, you know what? Lot had a high-ranking position in Sodom. That's why he was sitting at the gate. Oh, my. We're saying now he went from looking that way. He moved his tent close. Now he moved into the city. And now they're saying that he was in some kind of leadership position there. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? He was over all this. For Lot to be at the gate of that city, of Sodom, suggests that the inhabitants of the city had accepted him, is what it tells me. So if this place was wicked, if there were things were doing, and they had accepted Lot, do you remember over in 2 Peter, whenever Peter said that Lot's righteous soul was vexed daily? I'm going to get into that a little bit later here. His righteous soul was vexed daily. If his soul was vexed, and I'm not disagreeing with what the Bible says, I do believe I know what it's talking about there. But what it's saying is, if his soul was vexed, do you not think that he would get out of there as soon as possible? No, it had a hold of him. It had a hold of him. The Bible does not tell us the reason he was sitting at the gate that he was championing righteousness, does it not? It doesn't say a word about that. Lot may have not been doing everything that they were doing in that city, which was very perversive. They may not have been doing that, but you know what? He wasn't making his voice heard. He was not standing up and telling them what was right and wrong. Jeff said this scripture a little bit earlier when it says in James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's God's word. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. His spiritual decline kept him from being a champion for righteousness. I'll tell you what, there are people. You know this other thing that got me? Do you remember that whenever he went out, the angels told him to go out and to get whoever was in there, get ready because we're going out of here. You're getting them out of here. Well, he went out and talked to his son-in-laws. What did his son-in-laws tell him? He said, you talk to us as one that mocks. Why? He lost his witness, folks. He lost his witness. Those people, and I tell you, he could have went out and preached to every one of them. He could have went out there and even tried to preach to his son-in-law. That's why only four of them come out. Him, his wife, and his two daughters. That's why. Because you know what? As he preached and he tried to warn them that judgment is coming, they didn't, you know what? They thought he was one that mocked. That's what they said. You know what? They had no reason to believe what he was saying. None whatsoever. Because he was there. He was leadership of that city. You know, he was still there. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:27 how important our witness is. Listen to this. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you get that? You know what he's saying right there? You know what he's saying? Our witness is important, folks. I want to be able to stand before those I love, whether it be my brothers, my sisters, whether I stand before your family, your friends. I want to. And even as a preacher, as I stand up here, I want to be able to preach, and I want to be able to, my witness to be strong and to be based on Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I'll tell you what, if my witness is compromised in any way, I have, you know, in this way right here, I have no way that I can reach people the way that I should. If my and Lot was in that way right here. Scripture tells us in 2 Peter that it said that stirred by the sinful within the city. It said it was literally vexed his soul daily. When they were talking about Lot, Peter was talking about him. You know what? He was displeased with the sinfulness that was going on in that city. But you know what? He was still upholding the unrighteousness in that city by staying there and by not speaking against what was going on. Listen, maybe his son-in-laws would have believed him if Lot would have been a little bit more strong on what he believed. Can I tell you something else too? Maybe if Lot would have preached and done what he should have done, maybe they would have found 10 righteous in that city, amen? Sodom and Gomorrah may have still been on the map today, amen? If that would have been happened. You know what? Maybe so. It says, and when the morning arose, when the angels hastened Lot, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And you know what verse 16 tells us? And while he lingered, Lot lingered. He stayed there. He knew judgment was coming. He knew what was happening. He knew that. But it says that he lingered there. Why? Why? Hayward Gribble of 14th Avenue used to say this all the time. He said, if I told you that Belpre, Ohio, was going to be destroyed tonight by a bomb, would you go over there? If I told you and I knew it to be the truth, would you go ahead and go to Belpre, Ohio, if it was going to be destroyed? No. None of us would. You would probably get as far away from there as you could. Any person that has any common sense would. But how is it that I can tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is coming back? How can I tell you that this morning? And I can tell you that if you're not saved, you're lost, and you're headed to a devil's hell, and yet people will still go on with their lives, still go on, and just as Lot was doing here, still linger, still hold back. We're thinking, man, this place is going to be destroyed, and you're still lingering around here, that the angel of the Lord had to grab him by the hands and pull him out of there? Because you know why? Sin will lure. If sin is alluring, you try like Peter's 2:18. And I did this in the NIV, and I normally don't do this, but I think it speaks out like this, where it says, "For thy mouth empty boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people." Listen to this. Who are just escaping. Did you get that? It says they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. You know what? The Holy Spirit could be dealing with you and trying to get you to come up to this altar. And you know what? There, you hear those people in the back of your mind talking to you and trying to persuade you different. Oh, that's just a bunch of nonsense. That right there is just a bunch of, that's just those religious fanatics, that's just a bunch of nonsense. That right there doesn't really mean it that way. It doesn't say it that way. Don't listen to those people. Listen to what God and the Holy Spirit are telling you. If He's dealing with you this morning, if He's dealing with you at your house, today is the day of salvation. Don't put off to tomorrow. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Lot wasn't rescued because he was willing to leave the city. You know that? Lot was rescued because of the compassion of God and because of the intercession of Abraham. That's why Lot got out of that city. Lot hesitated in the city. If God has delivered you, can I tell you something else? Don't look back. Listen. His hesitation and the way Lot lived, it not only affected those people in that city, all those that were destroyed, but listen to me, it even affected the ones that went out with him. We know what happened to his wife. His wife looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. We all probably know that story. We do. And those two daughters, those two virgin daughters, we know this, we've heard this story too. The ones that Lot tried to give to the people of that town so they would not try to take these men out and do sexual stuff with them. Those two virgin daughters, you know what happened to them? They got Lot drunk. They went into him and they got pregnant by an incestual relationship. They had two sons, which were Lot's by his own daughters. And they were the Moabites and the Amorites. And guess what? Those two people, those two groups would always be enemies of God. Always. Always be enemies of God. I'm going to tell you something. The choices that we make affected Lot down through all that time, affected how he, those people of Sodom and Gomorrah, affected his own family. And I'll tell you what. Do not love this world. Do not love this world or anything in this world more than you love God. Can I say that this morning? Amen. You can get warm and cozy with the world, and I'm going to tell you something, you can expect it to rub right off on you. You can do that if you start doing that. I want to tell you a true story. His first marriage, he's married to a lady, and they went to church, and they were in church very good, a very good church. Ended up, she had an affair with the preacher, believe it or not. Oh, yeah. Ended up, it destroyed their marriage. But you know what? That man never got back in church again after that. I'm going to tell you something. The choices that his wife made, the choice that preacher made, destroyed those lives, destroyed that life. And I'll tell you what, it's sad, but the choices that we put ourselves in sometimes will destroy lives and destroy families far down the road. Come to Jesus every day asking Him to give you power to deal with those areas in your life, we know what, where you could face spiritual decline. Amen? There's not one individual in here that cannot say that there are areas in your life that we need to shore up. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's not going to hit you at your strongest area. Do you know that? He is going to hit you where you're the weakest. He will hit you where he knows that you are the weakest, and I don't know what yours is, but I can almost say yours is probably different from mine. And mine is different from yours. It's wherever. But I'll tell you this, he will hit you there. I'm telling you this morning, pray that God will shore up your spiritual weakness. Pray that God will use you every day, and pray that God will shore you up, that your life will not come into peril, and that your life, your witness, will not be lost. Praise God. They come and get a song.